hang about. It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
Hi, Denise.
Hey, Laura.
How you going?
It's been quite the week, hasn't it? It's there's for those who are elected members of all sides, it's been a really, really tiring, but I guess appropriately tiring week in the sense that there's lots of things that we've had to respond to, whether it be individual calls and people asking us for advice and support on how to access services, or just standing alongside people in the community. I've been to several vigils, interfaith services, you name it, and every single one has been so heartwarming. It's been incredible.
There absolutely has been a huge outpouring of love to the Muslim community in New Zealand, that's for sure. I guess I'm going to have to jump into asking the hard questions, though. National Party Migration Pact petition. Of course, that was taken down shortly after the Christchurch terrorist attack. Can you tell me what happened?
Yeah, no, look, it's not ideal, Laura. A staffer took it upon themselves to do that on very late on that particular day. That move wasn't backed by the party. I don't know who the person is, and MPs don't get involved with website changes. And we didn't catch up with it for several days. So there was a real miscommunication between what had actually taken place. There's nothing to read into it. Our stance hasn't changed on the Global Compact, but definitely it hasn't changed in that we're pro-immigration and always have been.
You're saying you're pro-immigration but don't want to align with the United Nations Migration Pact?
Yeah, because we want control of our own laws, Sarah. Sarah,
yeah, okay.
It's been a tiring week. I know. You know, we at the end of the day, we do know what's best for New Zealand, and we face very different pressures in terms of migration and our issues and what New Zealand needs and stands for. We need to be flexible and responsive. And quite frankly, a one-size-fits-all approach is not the answer. If you look at migration, it's highly circumstantial, and it's really difficult, in fact, we would argue, not appropriate, to apply one global one-size-fits-all framework.
I think the thing about that, though, is the United Nations Migration Pact isn't binding in the slightest. It's not saying you absolutely have to follow this and your way of approaching it doesn't matter. And honestly, when there is rhetoric against what the United Nations kind of suggests, it sounds more like fear-mongering.
You know, we'd totally reject that. And if we take on the non-binding issue side of things, because I have heard that come up, wouldn't you agree that you should only sign up to agreements when you're committed to putting in place terms of the document that you're signing, right? So if you sign up to something that's non-binding, that you're not super committed to, but hey, look, let's just do it anyway because it's non-binding, well then wouldn't you lose faith if you don't follow through with what the terms of the document are? So that whole non-binding issue, it doesn't stack up for us, because we want to be incredibly committed to anything that we sign up to, and having a sort of like, oh, don't worry, it's non-binding, I don't think that that's principled. So again, the primary reason is that we see that migration is really circumstantial. We know what's best for New Zealand, and it can be very, very nuanced. We're having to review and change and look again and review again and respond to lots of issues, and having someone else from an international perspective say, hey, this is how we're all going to do it, that's not the way to go.
I think sometimes these suggestions or recommendations are sometimes more saying you will work towards those kinds of things. It's kind of like the Paris Agreement, where you think about things on how they actually work within your country, and then you start to make steps in that direction. And by completely rejecting it, I think there is a lot of sentiment about that rejection and a lot of sentiment that it is very anti-immigration, and I think a lot quite hurtful for people who identify as immigrants.
Yeah, no, look, our not signing up to this is not at all anti-immigration. In fact, if you look back through our considered responsive issues towards migration when we're in government, we've been incredibly detailed and pro-immigration. Anyone can go look at our record for that. All we're saying, Laura, is that we don't believe that our migration policy as a country should be governed through a United Nations framework, that migration is solely a matter for sovereign states. And that's what we are. Each country has got to respond in a dynamic and fluid way, and we want to retain the autonomy to do that.
Mm.
And so far, we've generally been getting it right, haven't we? But we're always needing to tweak, to review, and to look at the way going forward and within our own sovereign way.
Did you just say you feel like you've generally been getting it right?
Well, if you look at the way we're getting it right, the way that we approach migration policy, the way that we're able to review our own, the way that we're able to be responsive in our own. There are times when we've had to say, hey, that particular setting isn't right. We need to look at that and review it. And that's what an immigration minister, or a good one, does.
I think there are a lot of people at the moment that would really heavily disagree with that, just with what has happened in Christchurch.
So can you flesh out what you mean, Laura, in terms of the connection to Christchurch?
No, I just mean in terms of the approach to immigration. It has not focused on people who do have white supremacy sentiments, and that is a problem that we are facing currently. So saying we're getting it right all of the time, or for the most part getting it right, I think it would be disrespectful to those people.
Yeah, no, so let me be very clear on that. What I'm saying is that we've got right our autonomy to set the settings, to review the settings, to have our own sovereign way of controlling how we set our own migration policy. Mm. I'll be the first to acknowledge that it's never been perfect. Which is why we have to have a very responsive immigration minister that's able to keep reviewing. And if we look back at this UN Global Compact, it doesn't have, fundamentally, it doesn't allow us to have our individual context and circumstances to be taken into consideration.
Mm.
We need to, a one-size-fits-all isn't going to work for New Zealand.
I'll shift on to secondary tax reform. So this is a government kind of promising to eliminate unnecessary secondary tax for workers with more than one job. And of course, it's just a reform, but National did not vote in favor of that. Can you tell us a bit about why?
Yeah, well, this is sometimes how difficult legislation can be passing through Parliament. We did actually agree with that.
Mm.
And all our speeches were pro the secondary tax measure, because
mm-hmm.
We do agree that if people are being overtaxed, they should be able to use a new tax code to that's more appropriate for them. But the problem is that in this bill, and here's the title of that bill, Taxation Annual Rates for 2018-19 Modernising Tax Administration Remedial Matters Bill. So as the name suggests, there was quite a lot in that bill. And we opposed the primary bit, which was setting and enshrining the annual tax rates for the 18-19 tax year. And of course, we disagree with cementing those higher tax rates. We don't think that those tax rates are appropriate, and they're too high for what New Zealanders need at this time. Now, because we opposed that, and we tried to amend it, so we did our best in the House to amend that so that we could support the three other large measures in the bill, one of which was secondary tax.
Mm.
So it's one of these difficult situations to be in, Laura, where there's probably five major things. The government decided to put it all in one bill, and three of the five we strongly supported. All our speeches around that way, secondary tax was one of them, and then there were two that we disagreed. It was the annual tax rates that were set and enshrined, and then the other that we didn't support was a measure relating to the horse racing and bloodstock industry. So those two we and because you can't say, oh, well, we only support that and not that, you have to vote on one block for one bill. And so we just had found ourselves that we had to say no.
Do you think, in terms of tax rates, this could be detrimental for New Zealanders in lower socioeconomic positions?
So are you talking about the setting of the annual rate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, where we come at, right, is that everyone knows that we had legislated and passed tax cuts for someone on the average wage to the tune of $1,000 a year. So we also, since then, have talked about, and we tried to put this as an amendment to the bill, come up with a suggestion to index to inflation the tax thresholds. So between those two, we would argue strongly and have evidence for New Zealanders being better off. And that's where we come from. That's why we don't agree with the higher tax rates that have been enshrined with the passing of this bill.
I think I'll just shift on to our last question that I always do.
Thanks.
Because we're just running out of time a bit. But I think in terms of a personal question this week, I might just ask, how have you been supporting the Muslim community in this time?
Can you just repeat that for me one more time? It's hard to hear. Sorry, Laura.
Oh, no worries. How have you been supporting the Muslim community in this time?
Oh, look, it's been incredible. As you know, I represent the area in Auckland called Mongakiakia, which is the Onehunga, Ellerslie, One Tree Hill area. Goes all the way over to Mount Wellington and Panmure and the lower half of GI. And, hey, what an incredible outpouring. So, in no particular order, I spoke in an interfaith service where it was a Christian and a Muslim service, and in the middle of the service, those who were there from the Islamic community did their prayers, and a bunch of us stood around almost to form a protection barrier. I've been in contact with my Onehunga Islamic Centre leaders and went and had a cup of tea with them this week. We'll see them again at 1 o'clock for their prayers today. Oh my gosh, there's just so many. Involved in the Ellerslie vigil this Sunday, so if anyone's around at 12 noon, we're going to do something really cool. We're going to turn that into a sort of a neighbourhood support thing. So it's a vigil for our Islamic community, but we're also going to make sure that people know, hey, come and have a sausage and some juice and then get to know your neighbour. Because I think that's a big part of it. We're going to see incredible warmth and connection come out of this. Signed a book of condolences in Parliament I just wanted to express down on paper how I felt. So, yeah, and it's been quite the week, and all I can say is it's been an incredible outpouring, and I feel really privileged and humbled that in the midst of grief, some good things to do with community connections are emerging.
Beautiful. Well, we'll be talking with you next week, Denise.
Thanks, Laura. Cheers.
You have a good one. Bye.
See you.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.